Snap Judgments is on a mission to help you feel fantastic. Snap Fitness. That's the mission with Snap Fitness, to help you feel fantastic. Our Snap Judgments on a Monday. I've got Snap Judgments around Carlton, certainly Gold Coast. I've got Snap Judgments for St Kilda and Geelong. Where are your Snap Judgments this morning? 1-300-736-736. Adrian in Roval to get us underway on a Bombers front. Adrian, thank you. Welcome.
Hey, Jared. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you.
Absolutely mad keen. Love my boys. But that effort, if you can even call it effort, was insipid. We got bluffed by the last quarter of last week purely because we smelt blood for the first time all year, and the big boys actually started playing like they were big. And we are missing Tippin Woody and the example he sets with tackling pressure. And we are missing Connor McKenna hugely, that running carry and that ability to take on the game. I don't know what Truck's coaching, but the last quarter of last week when we took on the game, we ran and carried, we kicked the footy long. We weren't handballing. We don't have a handball game. We're trying to have a handball game, but we just don't have it. If you're going to play tight handball football, you've got to be able to contest the ball when it goes into contest, which it will. Guys are going to be under pressure when you're handballing in the hard stuff. And we just don't lay tackles. And Dylan Shield, I've not been a fan since he came on board. We're recruiting guys who are all the same. We're recruiting prototype footballers, all 6 foot tall and about 6'1" and 82 kilos. And, you know, you can only have so many Dyson Heppels and Jordan Ridleys in the side. You need to have guys who will work at the coalface. And the blokes that we thought we were getting to work at the coalface are proving to not be as hard as maybe what we thought we recruited. I think Dylan Shield was made to look like a lot better footballer by Canelio and the guys that were around him when he was at GWS. And I think we really are, and it's horrible to say, as the team that was involved in the Marshmallow game with North Melbourne, we are soft at the football, and it's pathetic. We need to get outside, run and carry.
Adrian, thank you. Daniel's in Pasco Vale with his Snap Judgment. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, Jared, how are you going?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, look, I think the most frustrating part for all the Essendon supporters is the messaging coming out of probably more so the rooms after the game. You know, Ben Rutten's consistently saying, we've got to get better, it's disappointing, but we never see anything on the improvement. You know, we're getting beat around contested ball. Our inside 50s are pretty average at best at times. I mean, we went at 37% and there's no pressure. So it's just frustrating knowing that you turn on the TV or you're at the game and we're not really going to give anything. So we have to find a solution, whether that's, you know, playing. Obviously, we need to play a little bit better, but I think the messaging's just got to stop saying disappointing. We've just got to start doing it. Less talk, more action, I think, Jared. And that's what's going to help the supporters feel that we're going to be better in the next, hopefully for the rest of the year.
Daniel, thank you. Andrew's in Nidri. Welcome, Andrew.
Yeah, Jared, look, I'm going to be critical, but I'm going to be positive as well. I think the problem is our structure of the team at Essendon. They don't have a centre-half back. They don't have a full-back. And our midfielders aren't defensive enough, so what do? Do you chuck them all out and start again? Or do you recruit a couple of tough midfielders in pre-season, ready-made midfielders to come into that side? I know Essendon's been trying to get a couple of players across for a number of years and they don't seem to be able to get them in. I don't think you change Merritt, Parrish, McGrath, Caldwell's a way of they're not tackling machines, they're not tacklers, they're not defensive players. They're free-flowing midfielders. So I think what we need to do is bolster that midfield with a couple of rough nuts. And they need to go out, and if they need to go out anywhere around Australia to pick them up, they need to go and get them. And that will change the whole focus of the team, I think, because what we've got now, it's pitiful. It's unacceptable, and for Rutten to keep on saying what he's saying doesn't wash, and the game plan isn't right, because if you're going to allow end-to-end goals to occur, the amount of times they do, well, something's going wrong with their game plan. Now, either they're going to make a stand and drop a few of these senior players, Merritt and Parrish and co, I don't care if they get 30 or 40 kicks, they have no influence on the game. Or if they do, it's only when we're in front. They're front runners. I'll go the other way and basically say and bring up a couple of guys who might be, put the effort in, basically.
Andrew, thank you. So here's a little bit of what's coming through on the text to mingle in with your calls, 1300 736 736. I'm despondent, Jared. Where do we go from here? Who's going to stand up? As much as I like Dyson Heppel, I think this is a product of his leadership style, and this was so evident in his 200th game. Anthony, let me tell you, I'm a 27-year-old member of the Bombers, and I have stuck through thick and thin, and for the first time at the halftime break, I turned off the TV and went to bed. Something is completely wrong in that club and need it sorted ASAP. We can't just pinpoint individual players. It's a team effort. We're in the midst of Marshmallows 2.0. That incident, Marshmallows circa late 90s, sparked the commitment and brand that led us through successful years, 99 to 2001. We have no one who is feared, no intimidation. There is no excuse, and all the niceness and smiling has run its course, bringing Clarkson, Dimmer, Voss, someone who played tough and knows what it takes. And Stephen and Clyde, it's time for me to vent. As an Essendon supporter, I'm so disappointed in how they are playing. Team defending is a disgrace. Ball movement is not up to AFL level. The 150th year of this great club, they are letting the past players, who from the start of 1897 to the mid-2000s were ruthless and demanding of each other to compete and play a standard to win in a big way. I said on Anzac Day, if we lost to the Pies, which we did, bottom four is on the cards. I can't see where the next win comes from. I can't watch my team, which I've never said in my life. So there is a sense of despondency, replacing whatever pride there was in the aftermath of last Monday's events. 1300 736 736 to cast your snap judgments. Just let me work through one or two more of mine. My guilty pleasure, Carlton, were a great watch again. You'd have to concede that. If the opposition were going to bring the fire, the best way to smother it was before it had a chance to catch. The Blues start in Sydney yesterday was brilliant and it finished compellingly. It felt like everyone had their moment, not the least of which was Sam Doherty with that goal from long range. I know a few of you were jittery about the game given the circumstances of the outgoing coach and the opposition setup. That's a maturity in standing down such moments, and that's why it's another significant step in a season of increasing promise for the Blues.
Yeah, it was a significant win for us. You know, when you sort of take into consideration the story around the game, I'm really proud of the club. I think as having a transformational year, and that's essentially what we are, we're having these great transformational moments, and that they're all really important to have, that along your journey that you can have really defining wins, and it really doesn't matter how the rest of the year plays out because it doesn't change this moment. The boys were really keen to do well. They understood the challenge that was ahead of them. We didn't have the game on our terms, and then we're able to, run away with the game in the end.
Michael Voss, and you've heard him with Gary and Bucks this morning. That was a significant step in a season of increasing promise. They're a guilty pleasure watching the Blues. They are a pleasure to watch again yesterday. Your snap judgments, Errol's in Aspendale. Where are you casting your snap judgment, Errol?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say congratulations to Ange. I'm a Bulldog supporter, and so in the words of the great EJ, he stuck it right up in those critics when he took over Celtic, didn't he? So,
he did indeed.
Now, the edict from the AFL is that umpires deserve respect. I totally agree with this. We must respect them. But I'm wondering how much of the booing that goes on at umpires is really directed at the AFL. I think they're going to have a look at themselves. We are just so tired of these rule changes. And this brings to mind what happened on Friday night with two 50-metre penalties when really, were they worthy of 50 metres? We hadn't seen it for weeks and suddenly it's back and the crowd boo and the players get confused. So I'm putting some responsibility back on the AFL to have a look at their role in this and to see why we're so disenchanted with umpiring.
Errol, excellent snap judgment. Well done on a Monday. Brendan is in Melton. Welcome, Brendan.
Jared, how are you?
Well, thank you.
I got to watch Melbourne for the first time, the full game did work with him, and so had a chance to watch him play the full game all year. And as good as a 74-point win is, it's soured when he's done see a few selfish traits come back into the side and haven't been selfish for a good 2 years. I think it started in the first quarter with Cossey Pickett. Yeah, he's hit the goal from the goal square, but he's got Ed Langdon there. And just nothing about yesterday's win, apart from maybe the last quarter, gave me any... It wasn't fun to watch him yesterday. I don't like the selfish traits that they've had, and I don't want them to come back into the game. They've been such a connected team for the last year and a half. I'm a bit worried about where they sort of went with their football yesterday watching them play. So,
Brendan, that's a really interesting observation of a 74-point win. The luxury of being able to have your critics in there. Yes, I felt like that was Melbourne's off game and they still won by 14 goals. Nelson's in Port Nalunga. Hello to you, Nelson.
Jared, morning. Avid Cat supporter. I think where we currently sit seventh on the ladder could be a hell of a lot better given, you know, we've only had small losses. I think Hawthorn 10 points, St Kilda 10 points. I think Freo maybe 3 points. I think the blowout was Sydney, but we're playing a much younger group. Faster ball movement. I think we can absolutely give the top four a shake this year. Your thoughts?
No, I'm not in that camp, Nelson. I think Geelong strike me as the bellwether seat. This is election week. So it's if you're going to claim government, it's the seat that you have to be winning. So if you're in contention, you've got to win the battle against Geelong. Sydney have done it. Fremantle have done it. St Kilda have done it. They've all gone past Geelong in the process, I reckon. So they don't strike me as a top four team. I'll be interested to get David King's assessment of what happened on Saturday. St Kilda withering 20 minutes in the third quarter. That's specifically the 5 goals in 10 minutes of total domination. So what sort of landmark was that for the Saints? Because it felt fairly profound. 1-300-736-736, your snap judgments. Snap Fitness is with you every step of the way. snapfitness.com.au. Fred, Andrew, Phil, you're next. Snap judgments this Monday. The Demons may never lose again. Carlton gritty like Voss. That's from Josh. Temper, a mattress like no other. 0433 98 11 16. I've got a Suns snap judgment. Let me bring in Fred in Caulfield, who I think is on the same wavelength. Hello to you, Fred.
Hey, Jared. How are you? Good to call in again. I just think Stuart Jew needs more respect. Like, people are bashing Essendon, and I suppose rightfully so, but look at what Gold Coast are doing with significant injury in Ben King and what Stuart Jew's doing, and everyone's lining up his replacement, and they're in finals contention, at least, you know, on the ladder. But he's really brought a spirit and a competitiveness to the team that's never been there consistently before him, and he did that by trading out two of their best players. I think he's doing a brilliant job with what he has, and I think he needs much, much more respect.
Profoundly significant 2 weeks for him, Fred, from 2-5 to beat Sydney and then to beat Fremantle. So that Fremantle, Carlton and Sydney, the teams that sit 3rd, 4th and 5th. So that's not bad for a coach whose position has been spoken about as being in someone else's keeping. I agree with you. So Stuart Jew's opened up some possibilities, given they've only got one clash left with a team in the top six as matters stand. That's the return bout against the Lions. The Suns need to have their best season. So remembering, that's 2014 when Guy McKenna took the Suns to 10-12 and got sacked afterwards. They're 4-5, so they have that chance to at least match the 10-12 or to better it, split the ledger, even to grab a place in the finals, as you mentioned, Fred. So he's opened up some really interesting possibilities, and it should run its course. Is the Suns administration wants Stuart Jew to succeed, and he's threatening to succeed. So let's see. Let's see it run the course over the duration of the season. Hey, I want to share with you, I don't know whether you were watching on Saturday night, but what was happening with Celtic, their final game of the season, they were back at home. You know, they'd won the title. We spoke to Ange on Thursday morning and all the emotion that was surrounded in that. When, after the match, he was sort of reintroduced, came out of the tunnel, it was like the heady days of Hulk Hogan controlling the crowd as he walked out to the faithful, the theme music, the chant, and the exact right phrase. I want to share this with you.
And Ange Postecoglou did just that, winning the title and the League Cup in his first year. Celtic fans, the Celtic family are at one with their club once again.
So, Ange, as I said in the build-up,
taking in the moment, and no wonder.
Yeah, no wonder. Wonderful moment for him.
As I said in the build-up there, there were many in Scotland who had almost written you off after a handful of games here. So I'm going to leave it to you to see what this means to you, what it means for your squad, and what it means for this club going forward.
Champions, that's who we are.
It was so great to take in. He had that crowd in his palm, a rare and beautiful moment. It was something to take in. I know a few of you did. There's a couple of messages on that front. The 25-odd minutes of Glasgow Celtic post-game celebrations I watched on KO was the most amazing TV I've seen in a long time. No commentary, just scenes of players, Ange, and Celtic fans in pure rapture and song. That is from Danny. Andrew in Bacchus Marsh, what's your snap judgment, Andrew?
G'day, Jared. Went to the footy on Saturday, and in the third quarter, I don't know if Stanley was injured, but Blizzard played ruck, and St Kilda got 5 goals because the ruck sort of set the play up, and their midfielders ran out of the top of Geelong and kicked 5 goals, and that was the game.
Yep, so what's your diagnosis, Andrew? The ruck.
Oh, we need to find a ruckman. We gave up Darcy Fort, and he's playing constantly week after week for Brisbane, and it's pretty disappointing to see that.
Andrew, thank you. Snap judgments. Phil's in Hoppers Crossing. Phil, welcome.
G'day, Jared. I'm all about structure and tactics. Now, when I saw the team that Essendon had, I thought, now, who have we got to stop? I thought, Buddy Franklin. Well, I was hoping that Redmond would go to Franklin. Redmond, in the last quarter, saved about another 5 goals that we would have got kicked against. It's not against Tulsi, he was even catching Rovers. And the second one was Papley. And I thought, well, McGrath's got to go to Papley or Hind. None of these happened at all in that game.
Mm. Yep. That's pretty accurate, Phil. Jamie's in Darlinghurst. Last snap judgment for the moment. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, good morning, Jared. Hey, just before I get to my main topic on the AFL, I was actually at the Gabba with my dad the day that Andrew Symons laid out that streaker.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I was remembering it when I heard the news yesterday. It's almost an iconic moment in Australian sport, don't you reckon?
It is, no doubt, and to have seen it firsthand. Yeah, it's and when Simon's sort of 3 great moments are put together, that's one of them. Just for its, I don't know, for its just audacious. Well, of course, Andrew Symons would do it. Nobody else would have dared thought of it, Jamie.
Exactly. That was great. Hey, just very quickly, on Melbourne and Brisbane. So both of those teams on the weekend had their worst games for the year, right? And one team won by 75 and one team won by 40-odd. Like, it is kind of a worry for the other teams as to the separation, I reckon,
yep,
in terms of those two teams and the rest. And this might sound stupid, but I think the difference is this. The depth of those teams, particularly in the midfield. So Melbourne and Brisbane's like 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th best midfielders – would probably be number one, two, three in other clubs. I reckon that's the difference. Be interested to know your thoughts and Kingy's later.
Yeah, you could be right in the means test with that sort of observation, Jamie. So we'll work our way through that. Steve sent through, what you gonna do when Postecoglou mania runs wild on you? Very good, Steve. Very good. All right, that's our Snap Judgments for the moment. Snap Fitness is with you every step of the way. Snapfitness.com.au.